Good afternoon, everyone. You're live on KSDP right now, and man, what a beautiful day it is here on the peninsula. Hopefully you're enjoying the sunshine. Fishing's closed right now, so get that time, that rest and relaxation. But if you're here in Sandpoint, chances are you're over at the borough office where we had a meeting where two Board of Fish members were here in Sandpoint talking to the fishermen. They're going to be in King Cove tomorrow as well, and we're really excited to have them in here. It's John Wood and Chairperson Marit Carlson Van Dort. Oh, man. Okay, almost had it there. It's two-thirds of the way there. They're here today, and they're going to share with us what this trip is about, why they're here in Sandpoint. But first, let me just say thank you so much, guys, for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having us. It's appreciate the opportunity to be here today.
So, Marit, what is the point for this trip? You know, there's been so much happening. There's so much history with the Board of Fish. And so now, obviously, everyone knows there's a lot to discuss. And we have the cycle coming up for us this next year. What's the reason that you guys are coming out here to the Aleutians East Borough to speak to the fishermen?
Yeah, thanks. Well, I can speak for myself, but the reason I'm here is I really wanted to have an opportunity to have a dialogue with local residents, fishermen, stakeholder groups, folks who depend on the fishery, have a little bit better sense and get to know the communities a little bit better. And I recognize that the board's decisions have real impacts across a bunch of different stakeholder groups. And so just getting a sense of the community, getting a sense of those impacts, and getting a sense of the people and getting their input on issues is one of the reasons that that I'm here today to learn.
Yeah. And for myself, it was an invitation that came from Ernie Weiss with the borough to participate. I am not satisfied with the public process rules as we are governed by and under which we conduct our meetings, where they've got 3 minutes to testify and they must stick to the point, or else our good chairman's going to have to call them on it, and that's our responsibility to do that. Here we're able to open up dialogue. Any subject matter was most welcome, and you have unlimited amount of time as long as you're staying on point somewhere related to fisheries, and it gives people an opportunity to relax, at which time you start seeing the real stories come out rather than reading off a prepared statement that they've worked on for months to get it under 3 minutes. Mm. So that's one of the advantages of coming on out. The second advantage to me, and I did it last year at Chicknick, is to get feet on the ground and learn what it is when you're talking about different areas of the district. Chicknick's place, I didn't realize there were three Chicknick places that had to be under consideration, and to be able to see that, to be able to talk to the elders who actually live the lifestyle. And you don't get that at board meetings, or I don't, I should say. So this was an opportunity to come out here, talk with the folks, give them opportunity to talk to me. Only thing I'd like to correct on the introduction is we didn't come out here to talk to the fishermen. We came out here to talk with the fishermen. And I thought the meeting went extremely well in that regard. And I learned several things that I was not aware of prior to coming.
Very good. What were the, so as you guys come out here, and this is the first day, and you'll be going to King Cove tomorrow, both of you guys, and then John, at least you will be going to Port Mooar the next day, is that correct?
That is correct, and then after that, we both meet up again in Dillingham, but at different times, because we have a law in the books called open meetings law. It won't allow more than three members to be in the meeting at one time, and three RA schedules, so I'll be at Dillingham prior to Marit and two other members showing up there.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. That's a good focus on the open meeting law. So what has been so far from your travel, what's been the main takeaway for you guys? What are you picking up here? What are things that maybe you didn't know or some takeaways that are really impacting you?
Well, I always defer to my chair to go first.
Things that are impacting me, at least in the initial meeting, is just having that opportunity to make that connection, that personal connection with people. Again, like John referenced, in those board meetings, it can be really intense and you don't often get that opportunity. So making personal connections with stakeholders is probably one of the most impactful things for me in these meetings.
Absolutely. And as far as takeaway, it was across the board, was saying we lack data to judge the effect of what regulations have been implemented thus far. We also lack data to manage in season. And this is something that the board has recognized for some time now, but we have no control over finances. We have no control over directing the department to go in any direction. So we are really limited in our legal ability to accomplish some of the goals. So I challenged several of the people, the fishermen there today, tell me what is needed. And they've come up with some ideas, but most important from my perspective only is I keep trying to get folks to settle in on a consensus as to what we need to get for data. And I think we saw some movement along this line because at the end of the meeting, the department, I don't know what her title is, but Lisa came and said, listen, if we want to try and develop a consensus, I'll be glad to be a vehicle for that to happen. And, boy, that's your first step, and it's an important step. And so I was really happy to see that.
Absolutely. Yeah, so the name of the game is obviously data, and WASIP's coming up on, like, 11 years since it was completed and 14 years since it began or around those points. And so the fishing's changed so much during that time. What do you guys see as the big issues coming up at the upcoming cycle for the Alaska Peninsula and Chignik Board of Fish Meeting this year?
Separating fact from perception. Are the chum being intercepted by Area M to the level that some people in YK believe it to be? I don't know what the data shows that would support that or oppose it for that matter. So it's a matter of getting to the bottom of the data and see what drives those decisions. And like I say, trying to separate data from long-held beliefs can be challenging.
Absolutely. Now, and I promise nothing too hard, but I can see the doorway getting here already. And the no pressure on any of these questions, but I was talking to some biologists, and they were talking about how when you start looking at the chum data and you start delineating between the species locations for chum, the WASIP only designated as a western coast chum, and that was Bristol Bay all the way up to the AYK. And from my understanding today is that we still cannot delineate between the species in those tributaries between all the way from Bristol Bay up north. Is that still the case for as far as you are aware?
I hate to put this on public airways because I can't show you data that backs me up, and my understanding is that's true for Coho, but that the chum data is somewhat available.
Okay.
And if that's the case, then I think we've got the underlying genetics et cetera to support what we want to do, but if I'm mistaken, then I'll be corrected.
Well, absolutely, and you're not going to be held to anything that you guys say here, of course, but that, you know, they are doing dock sampling this year. I know that the AYK, everyone feels for what's happening up there. You know, when you're not putting fish in your freezer, that is a hard place to be, and so everyone wants to see those people out there on the water.
You know what you got to avoid, and it's not only applicable here in the fishery industry, but it's easy to identify a problem. It's more challenging to really get to the bottom of what may be the causation of that problem.
Yeah.
There's no question. I have a lot of friends up in the upper Yukon from dog washing. I just met a lot of people up there. And they've definitely got a problem. There's no ands, ifs, and buts about it. Just like Chignik definitely had a problem. But trying to make sure that you get to what the root of that problem is a challenge. You may take action, and people may be happy with the fact that you took action, but if it's ineffective, what have you really done? You've just exasperated. One, you haven't solved the initial problem, and secondly, you've probably caused an additional unforeseen consequence. So you got to be careful.
And I would just add on to that, that I really was impressed and appreciate the sort of a self-initiative of the fleet here to, undertake a stand-down, partial stand-down, in an effort to collect a little bit more data. Anecdotal as it may be, that's important and appreciated, and I think that was a good and meaningful move by the fleet.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, it's hard to stand down when you see fish going by, but I think everyone understands the importance of, you know, whether or not, you know, fishermen here feel like this is the situation, the cause of what's happening up north, you know, to show like some solidarity with the cause. So with that, I know that they're pulling dock samples this next year. Is there anticipation that those dock samples that they're pulling from the chum this year will be ready by the Board of Fish meeting?
I couldn't speak to that definitively. My little understanding that I have is that probably not.
But, you know, I certainly would be interested in hearing whatever whatever information they feel comfortable sharing. It's always going to be informative. But really, hopefully the study, once it's completed after 4 or 5 years and reviewed, will be useful. So in the near term, perhaps not, but at the very least, I'd be really interested in getting updated on how this year went and their plans for the subsequent years.
As board members, how do you feel having data, you know, when you see a problem and you're seeing these issues and you know maybe there's some data coming on the horizon, but it's, you know, several years out, how does that impact your desire to take an initiative where it could have really significant consequences on the economics of one people with no real assurance? And I'm saying very strongly here, but that's the potential, right? And whether it is or isn't, how does that impact you as a board member when you start making these decisions?
I can answer that one real readily. Take the question of what impact pinks have from hatcheries on survivability of other species, whether you've got an overreach of eating same foods or whatever it might be. They conducted a study out in Prince William Sound, and that study, from my perspective, when I first heard about it, I was really encouraged, thinking, hey, we're going to get some answers. But they want to start asking questions of what it is they're actually studying. They're not getting to the bottom question in my mind. So you ask how I feel, I feel totally frustrated. I have time and time raised this issue, and it falls on deaf ears. But so, you know, it doesn't make me feel any better. I'll make decisions as I have to. But that's why I also encourage parties when they come in front of the board to try and work it out themselves rather than leaving it to the seven of us. We will push the red or green button, but I think they would be better off if they, who have the most knowledge and experience, were to work it out themselves. Chicknick was another example, you know, of that, asking for data and just not getting it. And it prohibits me as a board member from coming to the best conclusion on an issue that I could. And I don't know what can be done about it other than I talk individually to legislators and parts of the administration. And through my ability, at least I've gotten some things done that would not have otherwise been done. And I'll continue in that vein. And it rubs feathers the wrong way in the bureaucracy, but I really don't care. You know?
Yeah. It's how long have you guys been on the board?
2019. Yeah.
For both of you guys, how have you felt? Has it been what you expected it to be? Has it been more than you expected? Maybe more? If it was me on the board, I would feel like it would be easy to crack under the pressure just because of, you know, the gravity of what your decisions are. It means so much to so many people, whether it's commercial or subsistence or sport. I don't know if you guys do anything for sport, but these mean so much to so many people. How has that been for you?
I had been involved in what they commonly refer to as the fish wars down in South Central when I was staff on the legislature. And so I understood what it could boil down to. And so that was no surprise. What was disappointing to me and continues to be is the lack of understanding that the board has to have the data to act upon to fulfill their function. And without that data, those decisions could as easily be wrong as they are right. And that bothers the dickens out of me. I could care less about controversy. What I do on the side is advise on labor negotiations. So if you want to get into some real hard-driving, stressful situations, it doesn't get any worse than that, other than perhaps animal control. But nonetheless, without data, the decisions are open to question at all times, in my opinion. I could not answer one gentleman today that says, you did such and such back 6 years ago and we saw no difference in results. He's probably correct, but we don't have that in front of us, and that's frustrating.
Yeah, one thing that it's been really rewarding. It is incredibly intense, and it's difficult. And one of the things that, you know, I keep coming back to is just how much there is to learn and how much there is to know and how difficult it is to cram, you know, all that
necessary learning into these, either into a meeting or even into a year or two or a term. But one of the things that I think would be really impactful, and one of the reasons that I think it's really important for board members to come out into the communities and why I'm here, is that you learn so much from visiting the communities. And I think that a board, any board, and board members would really benefit from having that opportunity to boots on the ground in the various communities and fisheries that we're making decisions about, even geography, gear, you know, whether you set your gear here, this way, that way. I mean, all of that information is really useful when you come into these really intensive board meetings and you don't have the luxury and the time to really explain it. A map doesn't always do the geography justice, and that's really important when you're talking about fishery. So for me, I think if I had one thing to advocate to anybody moving forward, stakeholders, legislators, is that providing additional opportunity for board members to be educated by the communities in which they're making decisions about would be really important.
So I know you guys are busy. You have a lot going on. I do appreciate you guys coming down here so much. There's a million and one questions I'd love to ask. I know so many people in the community would like to ask you. But I want to do two more things. First, it's not over for you guys while you're here. There's an opportunity in King Cove for that meeting to occur, and I've received some phone calls earlier today from people wanting to reach out to you. What are things that people can do right now to take advantage of your time here in Sandpoint or King Cove or when you go to Port Mueller?
I'm not speaking for myself, but I think every board member that I've worked with thus far has made an active effort to reach out and meet with people beyond the meeting hours, whether that's at breakfast, lunch, dinner, or otherwise. I'll be here through, and you will too, noon tomorrow. I have nothing scheduled for breakfast time over at the cafe, so I'll put it over the airways. At 9 o'clock, I'll be at the, what they call the Harbor Cafe.
Yeah.
And anybody wants to sit down and discuss things, I'll be happy to do that. Tonight, I'd like to meet with Mark because I've got a few things I'd like to discuss with him, but that could be postponed to King Cove if necessary, because we'll be together through then, and be happy to meet on the side. I have nothing more scheduled today that I know of. Am I correct, Mark? So, you know, I'm free. I'll be at, hopefully, the motel. I just don't know enough other places around town to be.
Well, perhaps we could encourage folks to coordinate with our host, Ernie Weiss, with the borough. If you know, reach out to him, and he can help communicate with us. But other than that, email is probably a really good way to reach me. Marit.Carlson-van.door@alaska.gov. It's on the website. But that's a really good way to communicate with me. And I'm pretty good about checking my emails. So as things come up, you know, and you're not in the, you know, face-to-face world, I'm always open to emails and creating some dialogue there, sharing information.
Okay. And finally, my last question was going to be, what are you hoping, like, as you guys go and continue on this trip up and even through Dillingham, what would be your dream success? What are you hoping this trip can provide for you guys?
That advocates for or against would meet with people on the other side of the issue, and before they get to the board level, try and see if there's some common ground, so that when they get to the board level, they've either, one, agreed on the resolution, or secondly, have agreed on at least a large portion of what needs to be addressed so that the board can get right down to the brass tacks and get it. I'd like to see individuals come up with their own solutions as to how to deal with the industry as they're participating in it. I'll be going back to Willow after the board meeting, and it won't impact me personally. It will impact them, so I'd like to see them get together.
Yeah, I guess just kind of getting a sense of people in place is one of the things that I'd like to get out of this trip. And then one of the things that I have noticed, even just out of today, is that there's a lot more in common than that people have in common than apart, especially amongst the peninsula.
Mm-hmm. So that's always encouraging and would underscore what John said in terms of, you know, reaching some kind of consensus, recognizing that in some places it's just not possible, but having those conversations and at least creating some communication across lines is really helpful, and that's what I'm hoping this trip will be a part of.
Well, we appreciate you guys being here. Again, there will be a meeting over in King Cove tomorrow. Do you know what time the meeting is tomorrow? You're flying out? 1 o'clock, so you guys touch down in King Cove, meeting pretty much right away over at the borough office, I'm assuming, in King Cove. So if you're in King Cove, make sure you get yourself down there. Feel free to call us here at KSCP 907-383-5737. We're happy to pass along information as best we can if you have things that you're concerned of and can't make it to one of these public meetings. So please make yourself out, get heard. It's important being an advocate for your fisheries. Any final words from you guys?
Thanks for being here.
And thank you.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for coming in. We really do appreciate it.